Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. The Alexandria location now open, taking appointments. Fish, Cake, CB, and JP, that's the foursome. Talk to JP Finley, covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington at 8:20. But joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, it is our pal Kevin McCarthy. You have a new intro. I think it's a little too badass for you.
Dude, well, that's, first of all, I know Cakes appreciates it for sure.
I like it.
One of the greatest guitar players, if not the greatest guitar player ever, Dimebag Darrell, you know, perfect tone. That song is amazing. Love that song. Good morning to you guys.
It's a little too hardcore for you, though.
Jason loves it.
Dude, you know, you guys know I'm a metalhead. Cakes and I have been going to metal shows for years. Cakes knows that that's not even really that heavy, to be honest, compared to what I listen to.
So I see, I know, I don't think you could talk about it yet, that Star is Born thing, but you've been tweeting like crazy about it.
I can't wait to see it.
I'm actually interested in seeing
I'm
it.
I'm definitely going to have a creeper, I think.
Really?
I'm going to cry during that moment.
Well, I don't want to cry, but I want to see it. I'm excited. I want you to tell us sort of your thoughts. I know you can't really officially review it, I don't believe.
Can you tell us if you think I'm going to cry during the movie?
I'll tell you everything you want to know about it. I was just in the Toronto International Film Festival, and that was one of the films that premiered there. I actually had the chance to meet and interview Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper twice while I was there, and I could tell you those stories because there's some really, really crazy stories that Lady Gaga was telling me at the one of the receptions we went to for the film. But the film itself, yeah, I mean, listen, and I don't know if this is going to speak to everybody, but this is just where I was in my life when I saw it. I'm 34 years old, so I don't know what happened or where I was mindset-wise. When the film ended, and this is not an exaggeration, I'll tell you the story. I was in a theater, and I just started crying. Like, I couldn't stop crying. Uh-huh. It was one of those weird things where, you know, I watch a movie, and you can get a teary-eyed sometimes, or, like, a little tear in your eyes, whatever, but this was just brutal. Like, I could not stop.
Why is it brutal?
It's not, this is not really a spoiler. I'm not going to get into what happened specifically. It's the entire process of what the movie does to you emotionally. And I think you guys can agree with me here that music and movies, those two combinations of art can be perfect combination if they're done well. Mm-hmm. And Bradley Cooper learned how to sing for the movie, learned how, you know, playing guitar in the film. They're singing live the entire time. They're playing actual.
And he can
this
sing.
This is kind of crazy.
He sounds good.
Again,
he?
Eric?
He sounds good.
He can
good.
Sing, and he didn't know he could sing? That's crazy.
Well, I think I want to say that there was an element of singing he did maybe when he was in like school at some point, but he actually was trained to sing the way he does in this film. I mean, here's the thing. You already have it in you, and I'm sure he's done singing maybe like in certain aspects of his younger life, but the singing he does in this film, he trained for it. And the cool thing about this, Eric, you'll appreciate this. What they did was some of the concerts they played, they did in front of real crowds. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. What they did was they would actually hop on stage in the middle of sets of real musicians who were playing massive festivals.
Right.
And he would go out there as his character, Jackson Maine, and play a concert that we then see in the film, which I asked him. I was like, how do you make the crowd look like they're fans of a fictional band that they don't know? I mean, you're Bradley Cooper, but they're supposed to be cheering on the band that you're playing in the film. And what they did is this kind of cool. They actually didn't blare the music through the PA system. So only the first five rows of the people that were attending those concerts could hear it. That way nobody could steal the music and put it out there on the web. But same thing with Lady Gaga. Gaga actually went out on stage as her character, Allie, and performed.
Let me ask you something. When they did that, did they tell the audience this is Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga, they're filming a movie, or did they come out as their characters and not tell the audience?
So here's what they did. There's two ways they did it. So, for example, in the sense of the concert footage where they played in front of a real crowd, this is actually interesting. So one of the shows, Kris Kristofferson was the next act on stage. Now, you remember Kris Kristofferson played the character Bradley Cooper plays in the movie.
In the original?
I don't think they announced it to the crowd. I think he just walked out and they play. Now, Lady Gaga was different. What they did for Gaga for some scenes, so they used the Coachella grounds, actually, which is kind of cool. Coachella let them use their stage outside of an actual concert, and they called in extras to fill the venue. But the extras were such Lady Gaga fans that they actually made shirts and posters for the character she was playing, Allie. So it was a mixture of things. When you see the movie, you'll notice it. Like, Cooper is really on stage playing in front of real people who are there to see, like, there are people wearing Willie Nelson shirts in the crowd. So, like, he said that at one point he was worried people were going to throw bottles at him.
Man, that must have been weird for him. Really, that must have been really strange.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah. Jason, you asked about the crying aspect of it.
I'm going to cry. One of those things, I know I'm going to cry.
I hope you do.
I don't want to cry. Maybe I won't go.
I'll probably cry if I go 0-3 tonight and Bish's best bets, too.
But the crying isn't necessarily a sad cry. And I don't know if you guys have ever had this experience in a movie where it just feels cathartic and it's just you just kind of let things out that you haven't let out. I mean, it was one of those weird things where for 30 minutes after the movie was over, I genuinely couldn't stop crying to a point where a security guard came into the theater and it was myself and my buddy from Miami. We were the only ones left in the theater. And I was visibly shaking. I know this sounds crazy, but I was.
All right, let me ask
and he
you
offered
this.
Me napkins.
Is the
it was crazy.
Is the movie the exact same story as the original, or do they go away from that?
Yeah, well, I mean, the premise of A Star is Born basically being that that his star is falling and her star is rising. That formula is the same, but you're dealing with all new music. So yeah, the basic structure of the story is the same, Jason, but this is all new music. And Gaga, I'll tell you right now, Bradley Cooper is unbelievable in this film. This is going to win, in my opinion, probably every Oscar that it's going to be nominated for.
Because he directed it too, right? He directed it?
Bradley Cooper wrote it, co-wrote it, directed it, stars in it, and he told me he made it for $38 million, which is not a lot of money considering what movies cost these days. And dude, he was telling a story the other day to Aaron. So Aaron Comar, our traffic reporter at Fox 5, he came to D.C. after I had already spoken to him in Toronto. He came up with the idea of how to shoot the movie after he was backstage at a Metallica concert behind Lars Ulrich, watching him drum during a show. So the movie is actually shot. It's supposed to give you a perspective of what it looks like to be on stage with these musicians. And Lucas Nelson, Willie Nelson's son, actually helped with the writing of the music. It is so far beyond words to explain it, but Gaga is so unbelievably great in this film, and every aspect of it works. And I think that the people are just going to be emotionally changed by it. It's a very, very powerful movie.
Well,
I think,
a five. You've already given it a five.
We'll get to that in the coming weeks, but I'm actually really interested in A Simple Favor.
So
and you also saw White Boy Rick, which is Matthew McConaughey. Why don't you start with A Simple Favor, which is Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively.
Love them.
Yeah, so I'm going to do that, The Predator and White Boy Rick. So A Simple Favor is Anna Kendrick, Blake Lively, as you mentioned, JP. It's essentially, it's like a Gone Girl-esque type story. So Blake Lively's character is pretty incredibly insane. Like, the character has a lot going on with her. She disappears at one point, and Anna Kendrick's character has recently become her best friend, quote-unquote best friend, because they're just kind of known each other for a little bit of time. Blake Lively disappears. Anna Kendrick's character helps with the investigation while also having an affair with Lively's character's husband in the movie, Crazy Rich Asian star Henry Golding. And yeah, it's an R-rated film. I mean, this is a pretty hardcore R-rated movie too. It didn't hold back. I mean, there's violence, there's sex, there's, you know, bad language. It takes advantage of its R rating for sure.
It's a mystery, and, right? Kind of like Girl on a Train or.
Yeah, like a Gone Girl-esque type thing where you're looking for, and Paul Feig, the director, he did the Ghostbusters reboot. I actually think you guys might like this movie. While I think you may have think you've seen it before, there's a lot of twists and turns. To me, it worked. It surprised me. I don't know how well it's doing in the reviews out there, but I was super interested in it. And it kept me guessing the entire movie. So I gave that movie a 4 out of 5. Okay. I really liked it. It's one of the better films I've seen recently. You know, I haven't talked to you guys in a couple weeks because August was a dead zone of movies. And now we're kind of getting into the Oscar season. I saw First Man the other day, which is the Neil Armstrong movie with Eric. You're going to love that. So there's a lot of great movies coming out this fall.
Is the Simple Favor, is it an unpredictable finish or is it predictable?
I didn't see it coming. Okay. I but again, I didn't read the book. So people who read the book will obviously see it coming.
We didn't read the book.
You know we didn't read the book, Ricky.
I don't even know there was a book.
If somebody reads the book and doesn't see the ending coming, they're not.
JP.
All right, White Boy Rick. Yeah, white boy Rick, you got like a minute.
Yeah, I don't know why they just didn't call this White Boy Lick. White Boy Lick. Jason, so this movie is basically, the idea here is it's a true story, and the young kid in the film, before the age of 16, he was a drug kingpin, an FBI informant, and an arms dealer. And it's a true story. This guy is currently in the penitentiary for the past, like, 30 years. Matthew McConaughey plays his father in the movie, and it is truly a film that has great performances. It's shot well, but it is so boring. And I don't understand what was up with the pacing here, because the movie just moves along. It feels like it's 4 hours long, and you're only an hour into the movie. The last third is really well done, and then the actual point of the story comes about. They didn't give you an idea at the beginning of why this was an important film. So I gave it a 2.5 out of 5. I do not recommend seeing it in theaters, and I love Matthew McConaughey, but it's definitely not one of his best at all.
The Predator.
Oh, The Predator. I have never seen a movie where I've felt more divisive while I was sitting in the theater. So the first half, I was like, this movie is amazing. The last half, I was like, this is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And it just jumps. So, like, you're watching the first half, and you're like, this is incredibly well done. Shane Black is the director. And then the movie just completely falls flat on its face. So if you want to see the first half, that will blow you away. And that's a cool moment, but the last half is bad. So I gave it a 2. I would not recommend seeing it in theaters either. And I love the first Predator, but this one is nowhere near. That's too convoluted. There's too much going on, and it just wasn't great overall.
Right, if people have questions, they can tweet you at Kevin McCarthy TV. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, White Boy Rick.
Thank you, Papa. Coming up next,
Papa Squeezy.
We get back to the Redskins with J.P. Finley, covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington, right here on The Junkie.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, this time of year, we are super busy. It's great because the sports calendar starts getting filled up. Tomorrow we're doing our show from the MedStar Sportsplex, formerly known as Kettler. We'll be there covering the Capitals. They are in training camp. Preseason's here. They'll be raising the banner in just a couple weeks.
Somebody do the math for me. How many days is it until October 3rd? Because that's when the
17,
Caps...
20, I believe.
That's when the real season starts.
Does that sound right? 20? What's the 12th so. Or 13th?
As they drop the puck 20. Against the Bruins at home and raise the Stanley Cup banner.
Isn't that amazing how quickly it got? Now, obviously, it was a very short offseason because they went deep.
It was compressed.
But, man, it went by like that.
I know. It's great.
So we have that going on tomorrow. On Sunday, Cakes and I are doing the Washington Game Day Uncensored pregame show, which you can listen to on 106.7 The Fan starting at 11 o'clock. I'll be doing postgame on NBC Sports Washington. And then in just a couple weeks, we have our Fan Fest. Fan Fest is back. 5th annual Fan Fest. That's at the St. James Sports and Active Entertainment Center in Springfield, Virginia. Chris Thompson's going to be there signing autographs. Also, Santana Moss and Clinton Portis. It's going to be a big event.
I believe D'Angelo Hall is a recent addition to the festivities as well.
Yes, and it's presented by the Purple Heart Foundation. Details are at thefandc.com/fanfest. Put it on your calendar.
Yes.
Coming up on the 29th.
Do that.
All right, join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline to give us some insight on the Redskins is our buddy J.P. Finley, covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington. Good morning, J.P.
What's up, fellas? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, what's up, Mr. Finley?
Thanks for being on.
How about that running game this past Sunday? We haven't seen that often in the Gruden era, huh?
Yeah, it was very impressive. You know, the last time we really saw them move the ball like that on the ground was week two last year against the Rams.
Yeah.
They went for over 200 that week in L.A., but it still wasn't quite as physical as they just kind of dominated the Cardinals. And, you know, I think Adrian Peterson brings a ton to this team, at least early on while everybody's healthy, and he just establishes this kind of downhill, I'm going to run you over mindset. And I talked with a bunch of the offensive linemen, Morgan Moses, Sean Laval. Those guys love it. They want to be doing more of that, and we'll see. I think Jay Gruden's going to stick with it as long as he can.
Yeah, JP, I would expect more of it. You see what Joe Mixon did to this Colts defense. He shredded them in week one, 17 carries for 95 yards. That's 5.6 yards per carry. I would expect Jay Gruden's just going to attack them on the ground to open up the passing game as well.
Right, and I know some fans were kind of concerned or complained that there wasn't a downfield passing attack, but when you're just gashing a team on the ground, between what Peterson did and what Chris Thompson was able to do, I mean, they established the edges and then kind of worked their way inside. You don't need to have a downfield passing game. The way they controlled the time of possession in the first half of that game was just remarkable. Their defense looked incredible because their defense was hardly on the field. Any offensive coordinator, any head coach in the NFL will take that. The Redskins had the ball 23 minutes out of 30 minutes in the first half against the Cardinals in week one.
That
I mean,
just dominant. That was a dominant performance.
It was, the first half of that game was as good as they've played in a very long time. And I've been talking about this for a few days out at the park. I think it's sustainable. Now, there's always the injury question. I mean, that's kind of the huge elephant in the room. But I don't see why with Peterson, Thompson, with that offensive line, and then with the defensive line they've created, you can't keep up similar efforts where really the focus is run the ball, stop the run.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, we always overreact, you know, week to week. And we try not to, but it's hard because they look so good. And then, you know, we saw the Colts, and the Colts' offensive line and defensive line weren't very good. And Luck had to drop back 53 times because they couldn't run the ball. So I guess the question, you kind of answered it, can they consistently run the ball with Peterson?
Well, as of now, there's no reason to think they can't. Again, you've got a 33-year-old running back who hasn't played a full season since 2015. Like, I mean, that will continue to linger probably throughout the year. Even if he gets through 14 games healthy, you'll wonder if he's okay for the playoffs and all of that. And he got a pretty heavy workload. He had 26 carries. That's not nothing. But, I saw him in the locker room after the game. I've seen him a few times this week. He's a physical freak. He really is. Every ounce of his body is muscle. He seemed completely fine after the game and this week. I think the biggest issue for this Redskins team, and we've seen it in the past, is dropping games they shouldn't or showing up flat for games that they have a chance to win. And I think, in a way, week two is a good chance for them to disprove that, because if this Skins team has those traits where they don't stay focused all the time, any of that, this is an easy one for them to show up a little lackadaisical and have an ugly first quarter, and next thing you know, they're trailing the Colts at home. If it's the same team that showed up last week, they should get out to a big lead again, because to your point, Lurch, like, yes, it's week one. You don't want to overreact, but they certainly, on paper and on film last week, looked like the better team.
And, JP, yeah, we talked about this on TV on Sunday night. You almost forget how big of a factor Chris Thompson is. Chris Thompson was MVP offensively of this team last year, and just him being on the field, we can talk about Adrian Peterson, and that was surprising to a lot of people, but Chris Thompson has the biggest impact, in my opinion, offensively on this team than anybody.
Well, it's also a great 1-2 punch, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, they really got the run game going when they started going to the edges with Thompson, and then Peterson kind of followed suit. And then once they established that, Arizona couldn't get outside quick enough on these guys, and then they started pounding them inside. It was absolutely a great 1-2 punch. There's no reason to think that can't keep going. I mean, what we saw Thompson do last year without Peterson there was remarkable. So, and the good part about a lot of this, too, we haven't even mentioned the quarterback. Last year when we talked, could we ever go 5 minutes without mentioning the quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
It's remarkable. I think Alex Smith had a flawless first game with the Skins. I also think he helps them so much in the run game. I mean, they were running RPOs. They ran one true speed option with Alex. He gives them more flexibility with what they can do in the run game. And that's something Jay Gruden talked about in the offseason. But honestly, the Redskins brass and coaching staff was so complimentary of Alex in the offseason that you kind of wondered, like, all right, how much of this is just we really like the new guy because we're over the old guy versus now we've seen it on the field, and you're like, wow, that actually really makes sense what they're able to do. And the only other thing that I find pretty remarkable, we haven't talked about Jordan Reed yet, who I think is a huge factor. Defenses have to account for him. The touchdown grab he made was just silly athletic. But Jay Gruden is so creative offensively, and right now with the fully healthy team, he's got so many different directions he can go. I mean, on two of those touchdown drives, they were breaking out 5-6 different formations within a 10-12 play drive. It's really remarkable all the stuff they're able to do, and defenses just don't know what to do, and they land on their heels.
All right, so they've got a couple receivers now on the injured reserve. Is this a big deal? Trey Quinn, Cam Sims, they didn't expect much out of those guys.
But Quinn was returning kicks. That's a big deal.
And did Gruden cry when Quinn went down? Because that's his new pet project. I mean, we all know it. It's his new Ryan Grant.
I think he might have cried more when Grant was signed with Indy in free agency.
Right.
But, you know, I think Quinn and Sims are bigger deals on special teams than they are to the offense. You know, the plan is very clearly going to be Crowder, Richardson, Doxson as kind of those top three receivers. They're on the field most of the time. Losing Quinn as a punt returner hurts, but they're also confident in Danny Johnson and Greg Stroman. They can also still put Crowder back there. It's tough. The Redskins are in a weird spot. I talked with special teams coach Ben Kawika about this. Most teams, your backup running backs and your backup tight ends are a big part of your special teams group. But with the Skins, most of those guys don't play specials. Adrian Peterson's not going to play specials. Chris Thompson's not going to play specials. Jordan Reed's not going to play specials. Vernon Davis isn't going to play specials. So they're already down a bunch of guys that on other teams are a big part of your coverage groups. So losing Quinn and Sims, especially early in that game, was really tough for the Skins. And that's why you saw the immediate return of Brian Quick. I had one player joke with me when they were headed to the bus in Arizona, that Brian Quick better already be in Ashburn. Like, that was that much of a done deal. Mm-hmm. And then the other guy, Kenny Ladler, he can help them a lot on special teams. So I think the impact to the offense between Sims and Quinn is negligible unless you get an injury somewhere to those top three wideouts, which, considering Doxson and Richardson, I mean, those are guys that have missed a lot of games in their careers. But I think special teams is the bigger part of it, and I think Brian Quick's a more veteran special teams player anyway. He may be a bit of an upgrade, especially on coverage units. So right now, it's not the type of injury that'll really hurt him, but it could impact depth if one of the starting wideouts goes down.
Defensively, we talked about it immediately after the game. It was sort of obvious to all of us. As great as they played, there wasn't really that pass rush. Maybe it's because Bradford got rid of the football so quickly, that sort of thing. Maybe it was a little scheme. Did you talk to Ryan or Preston and those guys? Were they frustrated, or did they feel like they did everything? And team won, they were good. Like, what was kind of the mood of those guys?
Yeah, a lot of it was the scheme. They really wanted to control David Johnson, especially he's so dangerous out of the backfield as a receiver. And I think they didn't send a lot of six-man fronts, five-man fronts. You saw a lot of just four-man fronts going after Bradford. Bradford also gets rid of the ball really quick. You know, less than 3 seconds, the ball's out of his hands most of the time, usually about 2.5 seconds. And the Skins defense is completely happy with how that game went. I think you'll see things look a little different this week against Andrew Luck, somebody that has a big arm, can go downfield, is willing to wait in the pocket to let plays develop. I think you'll see much more from Kerrigan and Preston and kind of what that interior pass rush can do and forcing maybe Andrew Luck out of the pocket. I think it'll look different just because the Colts don't have that dynamic weapon out of the backfield.
Are you comfortable if Luck drops back 45 or 50 times?
I think that's good for the Redskins.
Yeah.
I think they'll be playing catch-up.
That's what I think, yeah.
I don't think he'll get there, because if they can control the line of scrimmage like they did week one, they'll control the play, they'll control time of possession again, and then he's really, you know, if he gets to 40 passes in 25 minutes of game time, then that thing's going to look kind of ugly, I believe.
Safe to say they will not run 77 plays at FedEx this weekend like they did in week one against the Bengals.
I doubt it. And now, again, it's week one. You don't want to take too much from it. I tweeted out a stat that Pro Football Focus had the Redskins the number one rated team out of every NFL team after week one. And it's Redskins fans are so hard to figure out because when you report the bad news, stuff that happens, they tell you you're not positive and you're a hater. And then when you report the good news, and that's just a stat from a football metric company, they're like, man, don't hype this team up too much. It's only week one. So I don't know what people want to hear quite yet, but if they get to 2-0, people are going to be pretty excited. I mean,
you're dealing with social media, JP. That's social media.
Yeah, they're all monsters. The Redskins, by the way, ran 75 plays in that game. I mean, that's how much they controlled that game.
The first half was like watching Alabama play Norfolk State or something. It was crazy to have that big of a disparity in an NFL game.
It's not going to be like that this week. This week's going to be much closer.
No, I think so. I think so.
Much closer. Yeah, for sure. All right. Thank you, JP. Appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas. Anytime.
Yep. Right. Talk to you soon.
JP Finley, everybody, from NBC Sports Washington. Doing a great job.
What if it's not much closer? What if it's actually
Blowout City?
Then he'll have a little bump. He'll have a bump in his pants.
I'll be more excited. But as I've said, I maintain it. I expect we should win, although I'm nervous that we lose games like this. I feel like on paper we should win. But I'm not going to really be impressed unless we beat the Packers.
Hey, still to come on the program, we got Dave Richard at 9 o'clock.
Yep.
We'll talk.
It's coming up soon.
Fantasy football. We have Bish's best bet at 9:45. That is the slot of time. It's become a staple. It's off to a bit of a rough start, but that doesn't mean it's not his best bet.
1-4, and last night, we kind of talked about it because the Yankees were a 220 favorite, so it's like losing two games.
Yeah, I mean, you're like 1-6.
If you factor in the odds. But you know what? Today's a new day.
Nobody likes a quitter.
Today's a new day.
The great thing about gambling, there's always a new day.
There's always a new day.
If you have funds.
That's why the sports book at Hollywood Casino is going to do well.
That's why Vegas exists. But you know what? I'm not going to give you one best bet. I'm giving you thrice.
Can we do this, though? Can we say if it gets so bad, can we just.
You want to change the name of it?
Like fade the.
Okay, yeah. Like, well, I would say do that
we'll
now.
We'll just call it Bish's Bet.
I would say just
Bish's Bet and then
Bish's Bad Bets. Yeah. You can be the new Triple B. Lurch. You can be the new Big
Watch,
ball
I won't take the Yankees tonight and they'll probably win 10-1.
Yeah.
You know, they get no hit for seven innings last night.
Hey, if there's rationale behind it, it still is your best bet. It just didn't work out.
You have three that you love?
Yep,
I got three. Are they the three biggest favorites on the board?
No.
All right.
So that's
actually one of them is a dog.
Coming up at 9:45.
Slight dog, though. Slight.
And we also have the Redskins chief marketing officer, Steve Ziff, stopping by right around 9:45 to fill us in on the latest on game day experience at FedEx Field. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You got a fantasy football question. 9 o'clock, Dave Richard, CBS Sports fantasy guru, joins us. We'll have the speed round. I'm going to need to check my lineups. You mentioned Cooper Kupp because there are no cups here.
Correct.
During the break. This was an off-air
bit.
It's
a good zing.
I asked Cakes to bring me some water. He said there are no Coopers.
I mean, that's solid,
I
right?
knew what he meant.
That's not bad.
No cups.
The Drav's kind of smiling. I feel like still.
I know. I have Cooper Kupp on one of my teams, but I have a lot of receivers that are very similar.
They're grouped together.
They're Cooper Kupps, Randall Cobbs.
Yeah.
It's like, who do you go with?
Well, you know what? You'll have to ask Dave Richard.
I think last week I went with Crabtree.
Okay. So
I toss him in the mix. Because I have AB, Antonio Brown.
Yeah,
he's a guarantee. Start him every week. I don't care what the matchup is. Start Antonio Brown. But then it's, do I go with Crabtree? Do I go with Cooper Kupp? Do I go with Randall Cobb?
There's no way his jersey isn't flying off the shelves at M&T Bank Stadium. I mean, every person from Dundalk and Glen Burnie's got to have a Crabtree jersey,
Crabtree.
Right?
He had a nice touchdown last
he
week
did.
Back
yeah,
to the
did.
End zone.
Yep.
Drab handed me the story. It is interesting. Amazon. So we were talked earlier on the show about Apple. Apple and Amazon, they rule the world.
Yeah. I mean, they've taken over.
I think Amazon, though, is the biggest company, right?
I think
Bezos
so.
Is now the richest
Apple
person.
And Amazon recently crossed the $1 trillion in valuation threshold.
Is that the first time that's ever happened?
I believe so.
That's crazy.
And it happened like within like, I want to say like 2 or 3 weeks of each other happening.
Amazon's just putting so many people out of
business. I think Amazon's going to continue, though, maybe at a rate that might be hard for Apple to keep up. But We'll see. Because they just offer too many products. I mean, whatever.
That's the thing. They're now offering something else. Yeah. Amazon is now going to offer home delivery of Christmas trees. If you want to get a 7-foot Frazier fir, you can get it delivered via Amazon.
What if you get a sickly one?
I like the fakies. I've been going fakie for many years now.
I'm somewhat interested, but can I pick it out online and make sure it's nice and healthy, and then they bring it to me?
Well, they probably be guaranteed.
Or they're just going to give me a generic 7-footer. Might be sickly.
7-foot. Brendan Fraser fur.
But deliver a Nubs Yam Mahini.
Yeah, but you might have seven of them. So you know, when you go to a place, they might have 6 or 7 of them there, but there's a certain one that you think looks better.
Right.
So it kind of takes away that element.
Okay, so maybe
you know what? If you don't like it, you send it back.
But Amazon said they're going to be
supplying. I can't imagine what a pain in the ass that would be.
Don't offer the Amazon.
You can't just run back to the UPS store with a 7-foot tree.
They say Amazon plans.
Well, you just call them and say, I don't like it. Send it back.
They plan to send them within 10 days of being cut down. They bind them up, and then they ship them in giant boxes.
Ship it.
So your neighbors don't even know that you're ordering them online. Like, who would care? I guess you open the box and boom, there's your 7-foot Frazier fir.
Oh, and by the way,
I do think the price is, it seems a little high. I know, you know, that's my go-to, a 7-foot Frazier fir.
Let me guess. I would say if you go to a tree lot.
Yeah.
And you buy a 7-foot Frazier fir, I'm going to guess that's $200.
Oh, not even close.
Not even close to what? Too high or too low?
I get it way lower.
A Frazier fir?
Which is the one that's the high?
What's way lower? $80?
I think even lower than that.
Is the Frazier fir the one that always, they say, every tree on the lot, $25.99, except for in the small print, it says, except Frazier fir, more expensive.
I always go to either Home Depot or Lowe's, and I'll usually find them, I would say, in the $60 or $70 price range.
Oh, I thought there'd be more.
This here says Home Depot, says 7-foot Frazier fir is about $170.
Yeah, I thought there were more than that. Maybe they're giving you the hoopties.
I don't get a Frazier fir.
Maybe they're giving the hoopties.
Maybe he
at Home
probably
Depot.
Gets a hoopty.
I usually spend around a Hunsky. And that sucker is dead.
But
in two
I might
days.
Get them as it gets closer. As it gets closer
big
to
fire
Christmas.
Hazard.
Yeah.
As it gets closer to Christmas and they're trying to unload them because I don't get them a month. I don't get them on Thanksgiving.
Like lurch.
Some people do that.
I don't
some
buy
people get
trees.
Them on Thanksgiving. I see people driving around Thanksgiving weekend with a tree on the roof.
Your fakies up.
And I think
up,
don't.
The fakie's up the day after Thanksgiving.
I know.
I get the really feelings about 2 weeks before.
Yeah, we get ours up about December 15th.
Do you know how bitter I get when I have to go down to the basement and bring up all those damn boxes? And there's a bunch of them.
I'm sure you
do. You know
those sons of bitches
year,
are hard to bring
yeah,
up.
Yeah, but it gets you in the Christmas spirit.
Last year, no, this is a true story.
No,
this wouldn't have happened to any of you guys. Last year, because I took all the boxes and I put them underneath the attic to put them up in the attic. And I never made it into the attic. I just picked them up from there. It was so much easier.
Right.
My beach stuff. So all the boogie boards and all that crap didn't make it in the attic. I was like, oh, it's convenient.
And beach.
With all the cars in the garage.
Yeah. Well, we don't put a car. I mean, I could put one dumb car in there, but what's the point?
My wife reminds me 100 times leading up to the day after Thanksgiving. Got to get those boxes up. I'm just like, oh, my God. Because they are heavy. Some of these trees are heavy.
Yeah.
And the way our basement is, it's not easy to kind of drag them up the stairs.
How many
it's a pain
trees
in the ass.
Yeah.
We got three.
Three.
Two, he likes two, to have big, them everywhere.
Two biggies and a small wow. one. Two biggies and a small
yeah,
one.
Yeah, biggie small.
Yeah, biggie small.
That's the Christmas house. Spirit.
They're big sons of bitches.
Yeah.
He's big into that. His wife's big into decorating.
Oh, she definitely
you
is.
Know, we're not into that.
So. Yeah, you guys wait till like Christmas
You won't host a Junkies Christmas party so we can look at your trees.
No, I won't.
No, it's not happening.
I hosted Kringle 1 year.
Yeah.
Actually, 2 years. Maybe 2 years.
I think he was kind. Put the heat on for like an hour.
weren't you downstairs asleep at like 8 o'clock?
I had to bring like down comforters.
You had to bring a bunch of covers.
Because I knew it would be butt freezing down there.
Yeah.
No, that was when the ice storm hit.
True. There was a storm.
It was actually dicey to get back there.
Yeah.
So you actually
and
think
you
this price is
were
reasonable.
Hanging in my basement way too long.
I'm scared.
I
was scared.
I wanted you out.
So you can get a Frazier for $115 via Amazon and an accompanying wreath for $50.
I'm not buying any of that stuff.
I'm not buying
I'm going
from
to the
Amazon.
Church. There's a local church that sells trees.
Right.
I go over there.
Yeah, you hook the church up.
Yeah, hook it.
What do you give them? Is it?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, they're charging, right? It's not like a donation.
I'm not sure if I'm giving them some ginormous tip. I mean, I buy the tree.
$150.
No, I think I spent around 100. Over I don't 100. Know. Again, my wife handles all the finances. I don't really know.
You have no idea what comes in.
Again, you're going to be bitter when one day you come home
fleeced.
And you'll have taken all of your money and bought gift cards with it that wackadoo scam that we heard about.
What would you have done last night? So I tweeted about this. I actually had a little mini semi-crisis at the house last night. So my wife's texting me. She's all lick. And she's already pissed because the ice machine's not working.
You mean she wasn't sexting you?
The shocker was not sexting me. She was complaining. So it's a bit of drama that my stupid ice machine out of nowhere is not working. It's just a nightmare, right? I mean, so I was like, well, don't we have trays? Don't we have trays? Just put some trays in
there.
That's
how we grew up.
Can't use ice trays in 2018.
Okay, but that's how we grew up.
I know, right?
Yeah, but I mean, we've evolved.
No, so she wants the ice machine to work. So I'm like, all right, call the guy. But, you know, because you know, you got to call a special guy because it's a sub-zero, so you got to call a special guy, right?
Ooh, fancy.
So expensive.
So expensive. I got that appointment coming. And then last night she's texting me the range isn't working. She's turning it on. It's clicking.
Is that a Kirk Cousins range?
It's not a Viking. It's a wolf. Viking. It's a wolf.
Sure your wife knows what to do in a kitchen?
It's a blitzer.
It's a blitzer. It's a wolf blitzer.
Right.
And the wolf blitzer, we turn it on, and it's click, 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 click. And that happens sometimes. And I said, just line them up a little bit. Sometimes it doesn't really. Just turn it off, line it up a little bit, and it'll light.
You know, so there's tons of gas coming out, but no JP flames.
You know what I love? When things break down in your house.
I know you love it. Yeah.
So listen. So then she goes, it won't turn off. I turned it off. It's still clicking. It was clicking for an hour last night. And I'm kind of walking around. Now, we've turned it all off.
So the gas is not emanating.
There's no gas coming out, but all six burners are click, 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 click. Like, I mean, this is insane.
The starter's stuck.
Yes, the igniters are stuck. And so it's 9 o'clock at night. Right. I had just gotten back from something. What do you do? We were calling 24/7 appliance emergency people to come to the house. And luckily I didn't hear the gas. It was just the clicking,
click, click, click.
And then I actually resorted to Twitter. I go, any of you guys know how to fix this?
You're grasping.
My guess is like, you actually tweeted first. But
what did they
no,
say?
No, my wife actually said to do it. So everybody says, yeah, just unplug it. Well, of course I thought to unplug it. Okay, Trent Williams couldn't lift that thing. That right. thing is 1,600 pounds, I'm guessing. I mean, I don't even know how mere human even moves it ever.
You had to go to the circuit breaker.
So eventually I had to go to the circuit breaker. Shocker, circuit breakers. Not labeled that well.
I think that's universal. Okay. I think everybody's circuit board is all.
It's somewhat labeled.
It's like dryers on 8 of them.
But it's like old scribble from 20 years
right,
ago.
With masking tape on the
it's
side.
It's so hurting. Got 80 circuits. And she's flipping all the circuits. House is just off. Kids are bitter. House could blow up. And then finally, one little circuit. I'll never forget it. Circuit breaker 39 did the trick.
39. Who's a famous 39?
I don't know.
That's kind of a nubs number.
Like Otis Wansley or something?
Was he 39?
Was Larry Centers 39?
That's a good pull if he was.
I don't think so.
Larry Centers?
I'm sure that's wrong.
Was he 37?
I don't even know. I'm throwing it out there.
35? Maybe? No, because that was Aeneas Williams.
Now
we're just trying to figure out uniform numbers.
I know, nobody cares about
could
the drama.
Could we bring the show to more of a
halt? Hey, that's the way the show works. You know
39
that.
39 might have been Wansley.
For some reason, I guess Wansley.
I was going to guess him, but
I don't know. Number 39.
There you go. That's good recall.
I'm bowing.
You're out.
No, anyway. So, circuit breaker.
So, it didn't cost you money.
Yet, but now I got to get a guy because it's not fixed. All I did was shut it down. So, now I got to get a guy.
Oh, so it's still not fixed.
Definitely not fixed.
So just
it's just not clicking. My house isn't going to blow up currently.
I got you.
But you try it again. You didn't feel like rolling the dice.
Why would
and
I try it again?
Because maybe it'll actually get the flame and it'll be working fine.
No. You don't understand. It was clicking. And then it still lit. It still was clicking. So I could cook on it, but it's a clicking
That's
forever.
Weird. I just hope it costs you like $1,200 to fix it.
Maybe
I think
you just
might.
Have a Woody in there. Yeah, woodpecker.
A woodpecker? No.
See, that's why I have that home warranty, because that would be covered.
Right, but would it
warranty.
Be covered at 9 p.m.? Like, I almost...
Well, maybe not at 9 p.m.
Let me tell you something. This is a true story. If that breaker thing didn't work, and it just had a mind of its own, maybe, golly knows, I said, we're going to have to call the fire department.
Yeah, hey, that's evacuate.
I don't know what you're supposed to do.
Right.
I literally don't know
evacuate.
What to do.
Evacuate.
I think you have to call the fire
they
department.
They would jones so hard if they showed up because you just had something
I would have to call the non-emergency number,
yeah,
but I'd say, I'm definitely not sleeping here with that thing clicking all night.
They would definitely bring like three or four firefighters in there.
I know.
You'd feel like
sirens
a dummy.
It'd be a show.
Right.
All your neighbors come out.
I'll just go knock on my neighbor's door and have Kevin come over and fix it because he's butt handy.
And see, I don't know any of my neighbors.
He's very super handy. That's his living. That's what he does.
I got renters over here. I got renters over there. We got a lot of renters.
All right, coming up next, we will talk fantasy football. If you have a fantasy football lineup question, Dave Richard from CBS Sports joins us next. Call in at 800-636-1067.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.